أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد والثناء لله رب العالمين، ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد. وعلى آل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المكرمين المنتجبين، لا سيما بقية الله في العالمين، روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء، ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين من الآن إلى قيام يوم الدين. اللهم كل وليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة، وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا، حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا. For the hastening and the return of our Imam, please recite a salawat. Over the previous nights, we were talking about a concept of hypocrisy as a preparation for the coming of our Imam. We said one of the problems that we have is the lack of basirah amongst people. This lack of basirah causes them that when the difficulties come, when there's confusion that is caused by the evil forces, and mainly by the munafiqeen, the lack of basira is going to cause people not to be able to make the right decision, and therefore all these different movements that were started and continued for a while by people sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or those who studied and were students of the divine message, all these different movements came to an end. They got deviated. Why? Because the people, the mu'mineen, those who were part of that movement in the right direction, lacked the quality of basira. And we explained that one of the key points about basira is to be able to identify the munafiqeen, the hypocrites. And we talked a little bit about what we need to do, some of the things that we have, some of the signs of nifaq that we can have, which are the minor attributes, minor qualities of nifaq, which exist in us, and if we're not careful, it may cause us to be the actual munafiq. So in summary, I would like to say, we talked about what shouldn't be done, how to keep ourselves when the movement is deviated, make sure we don't go with those guys. Now I want to talk about something a little different. And that is, what do we need to become? We talked about what not to be, and what people not to follow. Now, what qualities do we need to have? What do we need to become? A lot of times, we engage in activities, social activities, we set up programs. When we become socially active, we like to talk about the coming of the 12th Imam. It's a very, very nice topic to discuss. People like it. Okay, let's get the crowds in and talk about the issue. It's something interesting to talk about. But when it comes to some of the other topics that we may find a little, maybe redundant even, we'll call them, it's not as interesting for people to listen to. When it comes to our personal lives, when it comes to our spiritual lives, when it comes to our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the likes of that. What does the Imam want to make us? What do we need to have? What should we put in ourselves in the positive sense? We need to take out nifaq and all these other bad things. But what do we need to do? A lot of times I feel we need to talk a little bit about what we can become to have a little bit of direction in our personal lives, in our spiritual lives. Recite salawat, please.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad.
Okay, we join the ranks of the Imam, let's say. We don't go with the munafiqeen. Is that it? Is that what we wanted to do? Just be part of the movement? We should look at what the whole purpose of the coming of the Imam actually is. And to realize from that, move on and realize what the purpose of creation actually is. And see that there's steps far beyond what we have mentioned and what we think of. A lot of times, as I said, we have two extremes. One extreme is when it comes to social, political issues, people don't like to get involved. Let's not talk about that stuff. Let's talk about prayer. Let's talk about fasting. Let's talk about the Ahlul Bayt, the past. They don't like to talk about social, political issues. The other extreme is, and we shouldn't get involved with this either, that we only talk about politics. We only talk about the social aspect of it. Okay, yeah, that's right. We should stay away from the munafiqs. Yes, there are munafiqeen, but we should have a balance here. Okay, what do we do personally? What do we need to become? This is something we need to think of. The whole purpose of the coming of the Imam to set up this government is what we find in Dua al-Ahd. Have you paid attention to Dua al-Ahd? What it says there? وَأَمُرِ اللَّهُمَّ بِهِ بِلَادَكْ وَأَحْيِ بِهِ عِبَادَكْ. We ask, part of the dua that we make is this: bring back our Imam. We pledge allegiance to him in that dua we say. Then we start asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that bring him for this and this purpose. One of them is this: bring him back so he can build the cities. Okay. وَعَمُرِ اللَّهُمَّ بِهِ بِلَادَكْ, in the proper way, the Islamic way. Okay. Then, more importantly, وَأَحْيَ بِهِ عِبَادَكْ. The ibad, the servants of Allah, the human beings, the people, we've got to be brought back to life. The life is the spiritual life. Our spirits need to be brought back to life. We are struggling too much with just the basic levels and struggling. I wanted to talk a little more about what we need to become from that perspective. Forgive me, I'm going to make it inshallah short. You've had a long day, or at least I have. And I don't think I'm ready for a very long talk tonight. I want to give a few reminders of what we need to become, what one can become, and just one little tip about how to achieve that. Recite another salawat, please.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajil farajahum.
We've got to look at the close companions of our Imams and the Holy Prophet. Who were they? Who were the closest one? What was the criterion for being close to the Ahlul Bayt? Have you ever thought about that? When the Imam comes, all of us would like to be with him. Right? Inshallah. Are we doubting that? Inshallah. Right?
Inshallah.
But just imagine, what is the population of the world? Okay, inshallah, there'll be more than that, and all of them are going to become Muslim. Or at least the majority. Now all these people want to have contact with their Imam. How much time will they get? Do you want to be just a regular Muslim? There were a lot of regular Muslims at the time of the Prophet. A lot of regular Muslims at the time of the Imams. Some of the things you hear and read, actually, I don't know if you hear them, but you read them in history books about the companions of the Imams and the Prophet, and it just baffles one. Say, you have a ma'soom, for God's sake, amongst you, and this is how you treat them? Some of the questions you read about the companions or the people that are around the Ahlul Bayt, when they asking a ma'soom about something, you're like, come on, you know, you can ask just any old person that question. Would we want to be a regular mu'min, or you want to be someone that is close to the Imam? This is something we want to talk about a little here. There were a lot of regular Muslims, regular mu'mineen at the time of the Imams and the Prophet. When the Imam comes, there's going to be a lot of regular Muslims. You want to be one of those? Or you want to be someone that has a different type of connection with the Imam? What's the criterion for that? What type of people are going to have a better relationship with the Ma'soom? In today's world, I'll make some comparisons here. When you have a movement, you have a very spiritual figure, an Islamic leader that's qualified. Let's talk about Imam Khomeini, which is a clear example, and the Supreme Leader right now. When you have these leaderships, a lot of people like to be around them. They like to be close to them. I mean, there's loads of people that would like to, and I'm sure at least many of us here would like to go and at least be in the presence of these individuals once in their lifetime. Okay. There's others that have access to more of that. What is the criterion? How do people get closer to these individuals? Or there's some people that think that just the physical presence amongst them and with them is going to cause that type of relationship. They go hang around them. There's like spiritual teachers, okay, in Qom, Tehran, all over the country. Some people just go hang around the physical presence. That's not the criterion to be close to the Ma'soom. If you want to be close to the Ma'soom, have a special relationship, you got to be like Salman. Salman al-Farsi, when he had to leave his Imam in Medina and go somewhere in today's Iran and live, he had that special connection with the Imam to the extent that when he was to leave this world, the Imam physically went there, of course in supernatural ways, and was with him during those last moments. The Imam will make that much of an effort for the close companions, okay? Those who've proven themselves. What is the criterion for this? Brothers and sisters, it's Iman. It is nothing but the higher levels of faith. When we talk about Iman and faith, maybe sometimes the peak of what we can think and assume is someone that doesn't commit sins, okay, and they're a good person in a way. But I just want to read one khutbah of Amir al-Mu'mineen salamullah alayhi, where he describes I would call it intermediate level. There's one khutbah that is called the khutbah of the muttaqeen, where the imam is asked to describe the muttaqeen, and the person who's asking is Hammam. There's some description there, you find over there. There is this one that I will read a bit of it. And you have another one that is far beyond this. And that one, it talks about these servants of Allah that, according to that narration, what this means, if we can actually comprehend that, it's very difficult. It says, Allah speaks to them through their uqul, whatever that means. It's far beyond my understanding. That God speaks to them, what that means, I don't know. That's advanced level. Hammam, I would say, you know, in a way, it's standard. This is something in between. In this hadith, the saying, this khutbah of Amir al-Mu'mineen, he says, Ibadallah, inna min ahabbi ibadillahi ilayh, عَبْدًا أَعَانَهُ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ نَفْسِهِ. One of the most beloved servants of Allah is the one, first step, أَعَانَهُ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ نَفْسِهِ. Allah has helped him to have control over his desires. That's the first step. Okay. This that we are struggling with, it's hard to do, not to allow the desires take us to committing sins, that's just the first step. فَاسْتَشْعَرَ الْحَزَنْ or حُزْن وَتَجَلْبَبَ الْخَوْفِ. He's got very close to him a concept of حُزْن, and something that accompanies him is khawf and fear. The Imam is saying that these ibad, they're always grieved in their heart. They're always feeling that they haven't done enough, there's more to do. We are taught to feel confident about ourselves, especially here in the West. Feel good about yourself. Yes, I can do it. Yes, good, you know. That type of feeling about yourself. But the Imam says, no, the true believers, the feeling that they have about themselves is that when they look at their relationship with Allah, what needs to be done, they're always feeling like, oh my God, you know. And it really is, if we see the right type of people, I assure, when inshallah, when the Imam comes, we'll be facing this problem. When you go to the presence of the true ulama that are not just you know, just an alim, but someone that is someone like Allama Tabatabai. I unfortunately didn't have the tawfiq, the blessing of being in his presence when he was alive, but just seeing a clip of him on TV, looking at that face, mashallah, this is. If that's not a ma'soom, I don't know what a ma'soom would be. Okay. I don't know how to describe it. Okay. Now, when you go to the presence of the students of someone like Allama Tabatabai, that I've had the pleasure of being in the presence of, then when you see their students, look how far down it's come. You have the ma'soom that's not even comprehensible. Then you have their close, the people that have achieved a great deal, like Allama Tabatabai, their student's student, you go to the presence of the Allama Tabatabai, or that type of, that caliber of ulama, their students, and you see their close students, you feel like, oh my God, what am I doing? You start feeling depressed. What in the world have I been doing all my life? This is what we should really be feeling. We just don't notice it until we go there. And if we don't, brothers and sisters, if we don't notice it while we're here, start doing something about it, you know what happens? In paradise, this is the verse, these are the verses of the Holy Quran. In paradise, yeah, everybody will get whatever they like. Okay. Anything that one desires is going to be there. But the thing is, the intermediate or the beginners, they won't even understand or even want what those higher ups would want. Okay. The Ridwan, according, says that fiha, the believers are given the trees and gold and this and that, all kinds of, and then it says Ridwan of Allah is far beyond that. Or there's something there that's just not describable. Okay. Sometimes the symbolism is some sort of a drink that they have, that once they take that drink, then it's something else. If we don't realize that here and start doing something about it, it'll be too late in the hereafter. So that feeling of not having done enough, there's still a long ways to go. This is after getting down, leaving all the sins and controlling the desires now. The positive side of it, the dua, the quality of prayer, the quality of dhikr, feel that huzn inside, that okay, I'm not doing enough. Tajalbab al-khawf. They have this feeling of fear. Yes, right now, I don't have a serious problem, inshallah, I've controlled myself, but there's no guarantee. That fear has got to be there all the way until the end. The Ahlul Bayt had that fear. They didn't just say those words for you and I to learn. Read Dua Kumayn. You read the Dua of Abu Hamza al-Thumali. These are serious words. The Imams have actually addressed God in those words. إِلَهِ لَا تُؤَدِّبْنِي بِعُقُوبَتِكَ. Don't train me with giving me the عُقُوبَة. Okay. وَلَا تَمْكُرْ بِي فِي حِيلَتِكَ. Don't give me that makr, which I can't explain right now. These are the words of the Ahlul Bayt. Don't burn me in hellfire. That fear is there. فَزَهَرَ مِصْبَاحُ الْهُدَى فِي قَلْبِهِ. What happens after this, once they control their desires and they have this feeling of grief that I haven't done much and I'm not doing too much, and they have that fear, what happens? God puts the lantern of guidance in their heart. Okay, it starts giving out light from within. We have to always look for something to get to. We need to go somewhere to get it. Okay. It's external. But when this happens, then it's going to become internal. The light, the lantern of guidance comes into the heart and it starts glowing. I'll leave it there. It goes further than that. Brothers and sisters, the purpose of the Imam is to train us to become this. How do we achieve something like that? What are the steps? One thing, just in a few minutes, I would like to give. Obviously, we've talked about a number of times, we keep stressing the verses of the Holy Quran, the ahadith always stress, and as we said, the first step is that there's no way to proceed without controlling our desires and staying away from haram and doing all the wajibah. There's absolutely no way. Okay. If we think we don't need to pay attention to that and do something else to get us there, it's just not possible. But certain little things that can help us out. Okay, we really need a lot of help. One thing that the ulama teach us in this regard, that is a serious help, is the idea of the contact with the ma'sumeen, and in particular, the ziyarah of a ma'sum. Ziyarat of Ma'sumin has an enormous impact on our souls. When you go to, inshallah, we have the tawfiq to go to Medina and visit the shrine of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the imams, and Hazrat Fatima salamullah alayha. When we go to Iraq, the imams that are there in Najaf, in Karbala, in Kazimiyya, in Samirra, or to Mashhad, the impact that it has on our soul is enormous. I'll give just one little story. It's way beyond us, but to see what it can do. All of the urafa, those who achieved ranks of spirituality that we can only dream about for now, unless we really make a move, they all got it through the Ahlul Bayt. Okay. All of them. None of them got it any other way. I'll mention one little story about one of these urafa. One of the very well-known urafa is someone by the name of Sayyid Ali Qadi al-Tabatabai, or Allama Qadi Tabatabai. He is the teacher of Irfan of Allama Tabatabai, Ayatullah Bahjat, and many others. This man, a practicing man from the beginning, but when he became in contact, or he came in contact with a spiritual trainer that was qualified, he started doing, you know, the special teachings, the a'mal that he was given, but he wasn't getting the spiritual touch that was supposed to come. After a certain stage, doors start opening. The sight is not going to be limited to what your physical eye can see anymore. It's far beyond that. And of course, that's just the beginning. Okay, it's not even comprehensible. That's to be able to see the unseen is nothing. Okay, for us, it's just we're just dreaming about it. But anyway, don't want to take too long on that. You know how he achieved it, when he achieved it? He achieved it when he made another, and he walked from Najaf to Karbala with a tawassul, begging the Imam to give him, pleading to the Imam to give him. And when he came to Karbala, interestingly, this happened in the Haram of Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas. That there, after he did his Maghribain Salat, he saw the doors started opening and he had to leave. Brothers and sisters, ziyarah is something that can change our lives. If we want to be the close companions of the Imam, we need to start achieving what the Imam wants to do with us. We got to prepare ourselves for that. Otherwise he comes, there's no similarity between us. I mean, why would he want to be around us? Why would he want us in his company? Because he's going to start telling us that, and we're not listening, we're not used to it, we don't even know what he's talking about. This ziyarah, inshallah, maybe even, it may lead to the ziyarah, ziyarah means visiting, of the 12th Imam himself. There's hadith, recite salawat. There's hadith that during the time of the ghaibah, خَاصَّةُ مَوَالِيهَ can see the Imam. خَاصَّةُ مَوَالِيهَ, it says, it talks about one of the Imams describing the occultation. It says, during the time of the minor occultation, خَاصَّةُ شِيعَتِهِ, some important figures of the Shia are going to be having contact with the Imam. Who were they? We know they were the four deputies. Their qualities, they were very pious people. They were ulama. These are qualities that we can easily see. But during the time of the major occultation, it's khassat mawali. Those that are, they've trained themselves to that level. They are the ones, as we said, like Salman, that the Imam would make an extra effort to go and see him. Those types of people, the Imam will have contact with. This is a fact in our hadith. And the criterion for that, as we said, is achieving that level. Through ziyarat, inshallah, we'll be able to take steps in that way. Go and beg and plead to the ma'soom that we have nothing, we have a lot of problems, we have not been able to stay away from sins even, but we really do want to move forward and achieve something in our lives. Sallallahu alayka ya Aba Abdullah. Sallallahu alayka ya Aba Abdullah. السلام عليكم يا أهل بيت النبوة وموضع الرسالة ومختلف الملائكة ومهبط الوحي وخزان العلم ومنتهى الحلم. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon you, O household of prophethood. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon you, my beloved prophet, my beloved imams. Hadrat Zahra, that angels used to come to you day in and day out, and they would seek permission to enter your homes. As-salamu alayka ya Aba Abdillah. صلى الله عليك يا مظلوم صلى الله عليك أيها الشهيد بكربلاء عطشانا. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon you, my beloved Imam al-Hussein, my beloved oppressed Imam, the Imam that was kept away from water, although a few hundred feet was the Euphrates. Sallallahu alaykum. On the day of Ashura, the companions of the Imam showed their loyalty to the Ma'soom. The Imam has reported to have said, I don't know any companions as loyal as you. But one of the companions attracts the attention when we read his history, the way he held himself with the Imam. He is from the Hanafi tribe of Kufa. He managed his way out when he saw all the disloyalty from the people of Kufa. Abdullah came to Karbala and joined the Imam. On the day of Ashura, in the beginning, when they began the battle, he participated. But then the time of Salat came. The Imam asked the enemy, we want to pray. They said, your prayers aren't accepted. Some of the companions replied back, may Allah's curse be upon you. You think the Imam's prayer is not accepted. So the Imam had to pray in the harsh circumstances of war. What happened was that a couple of companions volunteered to protect the Imam. One of them is Al-Hanafi. It's reported that he was standing in front of the Imam. Imagine all these people taking advantage of the Imam, not being able to protect himself and coming up with their swords and spears and arrows, trying to attack the Imam. Al-Hanafi is standing in front of the Imam. He protects the Imam with all he has. He has his shield, but that won't be enough. He takes it with his head and his body. The Imam finishes his prayer. He can still live. He still protects the Imam until, according to reports, he's got 13 arrows stuck into his body. And he falls to the ground. Brothers and sisters, we wish we were companions like this. He turns back to the Imam. His last words are, O Imam, afaradit. Are you pleased with me, O Imam? We say from the bottom of our hearts, O Imam al-Hujjah, we would really like you to be pleased with us, although we don't deserve it. O Imam, help us to be able to achieve your pleasure. اللهم إنا نسألك وندعوك اسمك العظيم الأعظم الأعز الأجل الأكرم الزهراء وأبيها وبعلها وبنيها والسر المستودع فيها لكي يا الله 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 يا رحمن يا رحيم يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلوبنا على دينك وعلى محبة أوليائك. والله we ask you to hasten the return of our Imam. والله we ask you by the right of the Imam. We ask you by the right of the Holy Prophet, his household, that you please the heart of the Imam from us. Oh Allah, we plead to you by the right of your beloved Imams to enable us to be of the true companions of our Imam. Oh Allah, we ask you to prolong the life of and give good health to all our maraja and especially our leader. Oh Allah, we ask you to give good health to all those who are helping the cause of Islam. Oh Allah, we ask you to free all those under oppression, especially our beloved brothers and sisters anywhere in the world, in all the occupied lands of their oppression. We ask you, Allah, to free and relieve all those who are under hardship, especially the people of Haiti, and especially the believers over there. Bin Nabi wa Ali, rahimallahu man qara'a al-fatihata ma'as-salawat.